Last week I was looking at the end of chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, and I was saying that what Paul was doing there was holding up two pictures. The picture of the unapproved workman in God's house, and the picture of one who was approved by God. And we noted that Paul was saying to Timothy that he needed to avoid the unapproved, the godless teachers, whose teaching was spreading through the church like poison, and instead he was to do his best to be an approved workman, correctly handling the word of truth. And now as we come into chapter 3, we see these two pictures again. And what we see in verse 5 of chapter 3 is that Timothy was to have nothing to do with the unapproved workmen. Then next week, Andrew Dow will look at the rest of the chapter and point us to Timothy, who was to be the approved workman, continuing in what you have learned and become convinced of. Here in chapter 3, verses 1 to 9, Paul encourages Timothy to avoid those in the church who appear outwardly to be godly, but in fact were godless and were leading weak people into ungodly ways. Now that in a sentence is what verses 1 to 9 is all about. Going up the screen there, Paul encourages Timothy to avoid those in the church who appear outwardly to be godly, but were in fact godless and leading weak people into ungodly ways. In verse 1, if you've got your Bible open there, Paul says this, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in these last days." Now the last days are the period following the death, resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. We live in the last days, you and I. These are the last days before Jesus returns. And what Paul was saying to Timothy is, Timothy, recognize that in these days there will be terrible, there will be difficult, there will be stressful times. Times when the church is under pressure. Times when the gospel is being denied. And that Timothy needs to recognize that and to be prepared for that. And that is true all the way through church history. In every age, there have been times when the evil from within the church threatens the stability of the church and the ministry of the church. One example we can take from church history, from 1516, I'm not sure how many of us were born then, but when the Pope decided to rebuild the Basilica of St. Peter in Rome. And in order to raise the cash, he started selling indulgences. Now, indulgences were sort of little scraps of paper which could be purchased to take away the sins either of yourself or somebody else, so you didn't have to spend too long in purgatory. Johann Tetzel was reputed to be going round selling these indulgences. And he had the sort of snappy little advertising jingle. As soon as the coin in the coffer rings, the soul from purgatory springs. The idea was you can buy forgiveness. And that totally undermines the gospel. And as a result, we have the Protestant Reformation with Luther and others. Mark this, there will be terrible times. Now, not every age has those kinds of terrible times, but there are terrible times. And there were for Timothy there in Ephesus. And the first thing we see was the present problem. Why were there difficult times? Well, the answer is there in the first word of verse 2, people. Now that shouldn't surprise us. We are all sinners. We're all sinful people. But while these words do apply to the whole of the world. Paul was here, was applying them directly to the church. In verse 5, he speaks about those having a form of godliness. There were people in the church and in the leadership of the church who were, verse 2, lovers of themselves, lovers of money. Verse 4, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That was the problem. That was the problem in the church in Ephesus. And that could be the problem in churches throughout history and throughout the world, where people are lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. And in warning Timothy about these Christian leaders, he spells out three things about them. Sorry. The first is that they were ungodly. Now, if you read again verses 2 to 4, I'm not going to read them through. I'm not going to go through it verse by verse, because I don't think that will gain us anything. But if we understand that these teachers were lovers of themselves and not of God, we begin to see the problem that you have at the heart of the church, people whose main concern was themselves and their own satisfaction rather than what it was that God wanted and God's standards. As Paul spells it out in verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. They appeared on the outside to be really nice Christians, but they knew nothing of the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. They had a facade, but no reality. They looked good, but it was all front. Some years ago, we went to Universal Studios in Los Angeles. And there they take you on a sort of buggy ride round the studios. And you're able to see the studios. And you can go into a wild western town. Only every building is just a front. Nothing was real. It was just a front. It looked good until you looked closer. These Christian leaders had an outward form of religion, but there was no reality. Now, I'd like to say that's just what was happening then, but it's not. A number of times I've sat in cathedrals with clergy who seem to cast off their religion and morality with their robes. The first characteristic of these church leaders was that they were ungodly, and Timothy was to avoid them. The second one was that they were manipulative. Again, look at verses 6 to 7 with me if you would. They are the kind who worm their way into homes, gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sin and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Have you ever had somebody on the phone and you're aware that they're trying to scam you? We are made aware, aren't we, today, of the reality of these people. And yet, we still seem to fall for it. These teachers in Ephesus were manipulative. They targeted those who were the weakest. Now, let's put aside the word women there, because it applied to many then and many now. The people were weak-willed. They were loaded down with sins, swayed by all kinds of evil desires, and never able to acknowledge the truth. What Paul was saying is, look, there were in Ephesus, and still in many churches today, people who have a problem with sin in their lives. And rather than say, that's wrong, and I'm going to battle with it, and I'm going to battle with it even if I have to battle with it throughout the whole of my life, no. They want an easier answer than that. And so when someone comes along and says, well, actually, your sin isn't too bad, God will still accept you even though you carry on in sin. Well, that is what we want to hear, isn't it? We want the easy way. We don't want to battle with sin. We don't want to struggle on with sickness. We want lots of good things and we want it now. And if we can find teachers in the church who will promise us these things, then we will accept them. Then we will listen to them. Then we will follow them. They were manipulative. They were taking people on the path that was not leading them to Jesus, not leading them to the truth. And Timothy was to avoid these people. And thirdly, they were corrupted. Verse 8. Again, look at it with me. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses. These were, we think, two of the magicians in the court of Pharaoh at the time of Moses, when Moses was asking Pharaoh to release God's people from Egypt. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men opposed the truth. Men of depraved minds, who as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. Often when I've battled with people on the phone, knowing that they are trying to scam me, trying to get money out of me illegally, after a while I say to them, how can you do this? How can you make these kind of phone calls? Do you have no morality? Do you have no conscience? And the answer is actually no. And these Christian leaders in Ephesus, they were living ungodly lives. They were persuading others to follow them because, verse 8, their minds were depraved. Their minds were corrupted. Their consciences were seared. Somewhere along the line, they'd moved away from the truth. And they'd gone further and further and further away from the truth. So that rather than being daily renewed by the Holy Spirit through the word, they've become corrupted and could no longer see the truth. That's what teachers in Ephesus that Paul was dealing with. They were ungodly, manipulative, and corrupt. It's a depressing picture. But we must hear what God says to us through these words. We need to do verse 1. Mark this. There will be terrible times in these last days. We need to recognize that there will be difficult times for the Christian church in every age. That there are still those in the church and in positions of leadership who are ungodly, who are manipulative, who are corrupted. I bet you can't wait to get to next week and hear the good news. Paul wanted Timothy to be aware of this, to mark it, to be prepared so that he could stand against these leaders and he could avoid them. But what about us here in 2023? What does this say to you and I? Well, let me suggest what should be our response to God's word. And the first thing is we don't give up. We don't say, well, there are ungodly people in the church, there are ungodly people in church leadership, we might as well give up. Friends, this is the church of Jesus Christ. It is a church that Jesus Christ died for. It is a church that Jesus Christ is the head of. It is a church that Jesus Christ rules over. It is the church that Jesus Christ sustains. And therefore, as God has throughout the history of his people kept a remnant who are true to him, he will in every age keep a remnant who are true to him, to his word and to his gospel. So when we hear erroneous teaching from church leaders, when we see evil things in the church, do not be tempted to give up and walk away. Don't do that. We hold on. And what we hold on to is we hold on to the truth. The problems in Ephesus were because people had wandered away from the truth. The antidote, as Andrew Dow will help us to see next week, is to know the Word of God in the Bible. Friends, our desire as a staff team here at St. David's is that all of us should know God's Word. All of us should be rooted and built up in the Word of God, building our lives firmly on that Word. Jesus used the image, didn't he, of the wise man who built his house on the rock. The wise man who built his house on the rock. So that when the storms came, his house stood firm. The rock is the Word of God. And if we build our house as individuals and as a church on the Word of God, then when the terrible times come, when the difficult things come, whether it's individually or corporately, we can stand and we can stand firm on that rock. I know it's trite to make the application of a sermon read the Bible, but that's what it is. These teachers had gone away from the Word of God, and they were leading people in the wrong ways. We need to stand firm on the Word of God so that we can stand firm against the wiles of the devil. We need to hold the truth. And to do that, we need to know that Word. We need to know that Word. But also, we need to be critical. Now, I hesitate here, because we're told not to judge. And also, some months back, we were looking at Luke 15, at the parable of the prodigal son. And we were looking at the elder son, and the way that the elder son looked down at his younger brother and saw all the faults that his younger brother had and couldn't see his own faults. And that's the danger for us, is that we see all the faults in other Christians and other Christian leaders and not our own. But we do need to be critical. We do need to recognise that in our own day there are Christian leaders who've moved away from the truth. And while they may not be ungodly, manipulative and corrupt as those in Ephesus, nonetheless, they live and teach contrary to the Bible. And we need to recognise this and not simply take in whatever anyone who wears their collar back to front says. I do get tired. I get tired of people summing up a clergy person with words like this: ah, but he or she is a very nice person. Being nice is not the key to being a church leader. Yes, I hear what Paul says. We are to be kind. We are to respect others. But we are to hold to the truth and correctly handle the Word of God. And we need in our church leaders who will keep to that pattern of sound teaching of faith with love in Jesus Christ. And friends, we should. We should listen critically to what is spoken here and what is spoken in any other pulpit or taught in our church. And ask, are we being held to Scripture here? Is this leader teaching us Scripture? And if we think they're not, then firstly, we need to challenge that. And then secondly, we need to avoid them. But to do that, we need to know the Word for ourselves. We need to hold to the Word. We need to be willing to be critical. And finally, we need to watch our lives. See, it's not just leaders and teachers who swerve away from the truth and live ungodly lives. We know we can do that ourselves. James, in his letter, uses the image of a mirror, doesn't he? And says we need to hold Scripture up to us like a mirror. And so we see ourselves there as Scripture teaches us. We need to have that right perspective so that we're not seeing the small faults in others and ignoring the major faults in our own lives. Daily we need to open the Word of God and ask God to teach us from His Word. that with heart and mind we may live holy lives that reflect God and honour God's name. Friends, it is serious if I bring ungodly teaching and ungodly living into my ministry here. It is also serious if you take an ungodly life and an ungodly attitude out into your ministry tomorrow, wherever that ministry may be. What we see here in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 9, Paul encourages Timothy to avoid those in the church who appear outwardly to be godly, but are in fact godless and are leading weak people into ungodly ways. We too need to be doing that. But to do so, we need to know the Word of God. We need to be critical as we hear it taught to us. And then we need to be continually looking at our own lives that we may live godly, holy lives to the glory of God. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, help us to look at our own lives first, to look at our own understanding of Scripture first, and to ensure that we are holding to the truth and we are living godly lives. But then, Father, help us as we hear teaching from the church around us to be critical, Father, and if we need to stand and oppose that teaching, but also to walk away from teaching that is erroneous and harmful. Father, save us. Save us here in our church, that we might hold true to your word and live true to the gospel of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.